WMFO Medford?
I guess. It's Medford. Probably.
It's not Somerville.
No.
Markedly not. Sorry, Somerville. So we'll see you guys.
And I'm free. Free falling, falling. Now I'm free, free falling, falling. Free falling now, free falling now, free falling. I wanna ride her name in the sky. I wanna free fall out into nothing. Oh, I'm gonna leave this world for a while. Now I'm free, free falling, falling. Now
much. We'll see you in a few minutes.
Baby, I've been here before. I've seen this room and I've walked this floor. You know, I used to live alone before I knew you. But I've seen your flag on the marble arch, and love is not a victory march. It's a cold and it's a broken hallelujah. Hallelujah. There was a time when you let me know what's really going on below, but now you never show that to me, do you? But remember when I moved in you, and the holy dove was moving too, and every breath we drew was hallelujah, hallelujah. It's not somebody who's seen the light. It's a cold and it's a broken hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
So this is Mimi and
Gracie,
and you're listening to All the Geets on 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio.
I'm going to be honest. The first time I heard Hallelujah was in Shrek.
Yes.
And it was like one of those things where like I half thought that they like made the song for Shrek.
Okay. I actually did not think that, but it so perfectly fit.
That moment?
Shrek?
Yeah.
Yeah, that I actually could see how you thought that.
Right?
Yeah. We both listened to a podcast about this song, actually.
Yeah.
Like about a year ago.
Do you want to... How much of it do you remember, Mimi?
Not too much. Do you remember a lot? Because I can tell you what I remember.
I guess... Well, okay. So we should talk about our theme.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And I'll explain how this relates. I guess... So our theme is covers. right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or songs that were originally recorded by one artist and then re-recorded by another artist, usually where the second one became a lot more famous. Right?
Yeah.
For the most part.
Okay. Not usually, but some of them are.
Some of them.
Yeah.
And the podcast you listened to was on Revisionist History, which is run by Malcolm Gladwell, who's awesome. And the idea of it is that people think, like, genius is something that happens, like, in a burst or all together, but it's really something that's cultivated. And I think sometimes listening, like, specifically to covers of songs, kind of shows how this process works. Like, I, in doing this, like, did a lot of research, and I was like, oh, like, songs originally recorded by other artists. And I found so many, like, really popular songs that I had no idea were covers. And you listen to the first version, and you're like, well, I mean, it's a fine song. And then you listen to the second version, and you're like, wow, they really, I think, transformed it. And sometimes you need that second set of eyes, and you need that time, and you need the feedback, I think, to really make it genius.
Hmm. That was well put.
Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah, the original Hallelujah, I think, was by Leonard Cohen.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, the song didn't get, like, very popular when he recorded it. And he toured with that song for, like, a couple years.
Yeah, and it was, like, he had, like, it was, like, so long.
Yeah. And it wasn't until, actually, so there was another guy, John Cale, that covered Leonard Cohen's version.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what inspired Jeff Buckley, which is the version we just listened to, the Shrek version. That
you mean the real version.
The real version. But it was John Cale's version that actually inspired Jeff Buckley, which is interesting. Like, it wasn't even the original. So it went through two people, mm-hmm. really, before it even got to the point where it could become famous. So it's very interesting. Yeah, I was also very surprised. Even, I love Free Fallin', which I guess is not that much more, it's not any more famous than the original, but
wait, what version did you play?
The John Mayer version.
I would say at this point that version is more popular
than the Tom Petty version.
Yeah.
Okay, I could see that. Yeah, there's nothing like a good live at the Nokia Theater
mm-hmm.
John Mayer version of a song. But
I mean, it's just like so many songs that I feel like I associate with artists. Like, so many of Beyonce's, like, really famous older hits were not sung by her.
No.
Irreplaceable was covered by Neo, or was sung by Neo first.
Oh, what?
Right?
I didn't know that.
Halo, she didn't sing that one first.
Who sang that?
I don't remember.
Okay, that's okay.
Rihanna's Diamonds.
Oh, I knew that one.
Sia.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Aretha Franklin's Respect, she didn't write that song. Isn't that crazy?
It's crazy. It is very crazy. What song do you want to play next, Gracie?
I feel, should we do some pop songs?
Should we? We have, do you want to play Halo since
we're
talking about
Should we play Halo?
It?
We should.
Yeah. Okay, here we go.
I can feel been awakened. Every rule I had you breaking. The risk that I'm taking. I'm never gonna shut you out. I can feel.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog, girl.
So we just played Halo by Beyonce, Girls Just Wanna Have Fun by Cyndi Lauper, Respect by Aretha Franklin, and Hound Dog by Elvis Presley.
I will admit, I was surprised. I mean, I've told you about my disappointment in Graceland a lot. But when I was there, I found out that Elvis didn't write most of, or I think any of his songs.
Oh.
Isn't that surprising?
That's actually very surprising.
Kind of the idea behind, which is very interesting because I feel like this is such a modern concept. Like, I associate this with, I don't know, One Direction, but basically just, finding a conduit that, people enjoy I don't want to say he doesn't have talent because, obviously, I love Elvis and I think, the man was a born performer. But it's interesting, how you can separate, being an artist and being a songwriter, you know?
Yeah, totally. It is very interesting. It's interesting. I feel like Elvis Presley is a really good example of even how classic rock is very much based off of even African American music. Mm-hmm. He stole a lot of songs from African American artists, and it's interesting just how I don't know, even people that we respect so much, but are examples of how a whole group's history and past and talent was kind of written over. Mm-hmm. Obviously I love Elvis, so it's hard to
say too much,
but right. You know, it is an interesting point to be said that a lot of what we consider rock and the people that started things didn't necessarily start it. We actually should be giving credit where credit's due.
Totally.
But
that's have you seen Dreamgirls?
I have not. No.
Are you?
No.
Really?
Yes.
So it's the premise is about black musicians. And they are having trouble getting the songs written and performed by black musicians to be popular. Mm-hmm. And they're re-recorded by white artists, and they hit a lot more. It also happens in Hairspray, I feel
Oh yeah. What a classic.
My fame of reference is only musicals.
Oh man, it's good. But yeah, I was surprised though that Respect was not sung by Aretha Franklin first.
Yeah.
Do you know who sang that first?
No, I don't.
Here, I'll look it up. Let's see. Otis. Oh, it's an Otis Redding song.
Mm.
But it came out only 2 years before she covered it and just made it huge.
Like, I mean, I completely associate that song, like, exclusively with her. And I almost, like, exclusively associate her with the song, you know?
Oh, completely.
So that's just wild.
Yeah. And then Girls Just Want to Have Fun, Robert Hazard. Which, let me tell you.
Like, that can't be a man's song.
It's not a man's song. Guys don't need to tell us that we just want to have fun.
Yeah.
We can tell you that.
I feel like it changes the whole meaning of it.
Completely.
If it's sung by a man.
100%. That actually kind of makes me a little bit uncomfortable that a man wrote that. But we can just continue thinking that Cyndi Lauper wrote it.
Yeah.
That'll make me feel better about the world.
Me too.
Up next, we have Mad World by Gary Jules, which I also didn't know was his original song.
Wow, yeah, I had no idea.
Uh-huh. It's interesting. I think it's, like, so iconic in, what's that movie that we watched last year that was, like, really scary?
Oh, Donnie Darko.
Donnie Darko. It's such, like, an iconic song in that movie.
Totally.
That, like, it's kind of like Hallelujah, where I just automatically associate it with Gary Jules, mm-hmm. but... It's not him.
I'm not sure I've ever heard the other version.
Yeah. It's, let's see. It was by the British band Tears for Fears originally. And...
Oh, maybe I have then.
I've like never Tears even for Fears. Heard of that band.
Oh, I'm really into 80s music.
Yeah, I know.
Exclusively because my father indoctrinated me. But, yeah, no, they're like an 80s band. They had like another big hit, but I'm trying to think about. Oh, I'm pretty sure they're the band who did Everybody Wants to Rule the World.
Oh, okay, that makes sense. That would make a lot of sense.
I don't want to say that for certain. I'm sure somebody's going to call in and correct me.
All right, well, we can play Mad World, which is originally by Tears for Fears, covered by Gary Jules. Here we go.
Mad world. hurt me so. Now I'm gonna pack my things and go. Tainted love.
If we was one of those ratty boys,
stood there with my neighbor called Peter in a flat skirt passer.
He told me he built a time machine, wanted to film a scene. Yeah, he said I've been to the year 3000. Not much has changed, but they lived underwater. And your great 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 granddaughter is divine.
To the future in the flux thing, and I saw everything.
Boy bands, and another one, and another one,
and another one.
And girls there with round hair, like Star Wars, and float up on the floor. We drove around in a time machine, like what in a film or scene. Yeah, he said, I've been to the year 3000. Not much has changed, but they lived underwater. And your great, great, great granddaughter is divine, divine.
I took a ship to the year 3000. This song had gone multi-platinum. Everybody bought our seventh album. It had Outso Kelly Clarkson. I took a ship to the year 3000.
Where did the Jonas Brothers go?
Honestly, I really like them.
I loved them.
Although I think Dance is pretty good. Like Joe Jonas' new thing. I mean, it's like, again, it's like poppy nonsense, but that's like what you want, you know?
Yeah. It's fun.
It's totally fun.
It's totally something you can dance to.
Yeah, like, so. I want some cake by the ocean.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
I was talking about how it was such a scandal when I was younger, for whatever reason, that the Jonas Brothers had re-recorded this song. Because they changed Michael Jackson in the original version to Kelly Clarkson. So, like, when somebody, like, brought that up, they thought they were, like, so cool that knew that.
That's amazing.
And there's, like, one kind of, like, explicit line, like, definitely explicit if you're, like, you know, in sixth or seventh grade, which we were at the time. And we're like, oh, my gosh, they, like, really changed this. This is, like, crazy. This used to be, like, a like bad song.
That's so funny. You guys are like real music aficionados.
Yeah, no, honestly.
That's really funny.
But it is, I definitely think there is kind of a stigma that comes with like re-recording songs. What do you think?
You think so? Yeah. I think unless you make it significantly better. No, well, I feel in like general, you're right.
Like, I feel like there's a premium placed on like originality. And I don't think people realize like the pervasiveness of like re-recording songs.
Completely.
You know, like I had no idea a lot of these songs were not their originals at the time.
I don't think we should discount a song or an artist for not writing their own music, but I think there is a degree of respect we should have for people that do write their own music, because that is so much harder.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
I feel like we've actually had this exact same conversation, but about filmmakers, about like whether it's better to like, because it's like you're not always gonna get it right, you know?
Yeah.
And like whether it's better to be like a person that's like original and is able to like invent something, or a person that's able to perfect something, like what's more valuable?
It's a good question.
And I think it could go either way, really.
It really could. Yeah, we definitely have had this conversation, but that's cool. I love Year 3000, though. I'm not gonna lie, I've probably listened to that song more times in the recent past than I'd want to admit.
I love that. I've been listening to it a while, I'm not gonna lie, but I was like, oh, I'll add this to my playlist.
Oh, it's definitely in my car playlist. So,
as it should be.
Yeah, and I'm a little, like, shameless about it, so it's all good. So coming up next, these are two covers that I wouldn't say are better than the original, but they're like versions that I really enjoy.
Okay.
One of which is actually, throwing it back, was a live performance on American Idol.
Wow.
But ever since I saw this, I've loved the song, and so and it got me into like the real version. But this is House of the Rising Sun, covered by Hayley Reinhart. Here we go.
A house in New Orleans, they call the rising sun, and it's been the ruin of many a poor boy and God, I know I'm one.
I know you have a load of strength left. I know you have a little life in you yet. I know you have a load of strength left. I should be crying, but I just can't let it show. Should be hoping, but I can't stop thinking of all the things I should have said that I never said. All the things we should have done that we never did. All the things I should have given, but I didn't. Oh, darling, make it go. Make it go.
So that was House of the Rising Sun by Haley Reinhart, and then This Woman's Work. And if you just joined us today, we're doing covers of songs that we really enjoy, covers that we think are better than the original. Those last two, I don't think are better than the original, but...
I don't know. House of the Rising Sun one I thought was really good.
Yeah. I mean, she did so well. It was kind
of
iconic.
How far did she make it on American Idol?
I think she was probably like top 10. Let's see.
I find it so interesting, this is a little bit of a tangent that we don't have to get into, but how on reality shows, like, winning isn't always, like, the most, like, fruitful.
Totally. You know?
Like, especially on American Idol, like, a lot of the winner, I mean, a lot of, the, like, I mean, Kelly Clarkson, I think, is, like, the biggest, and probably Carrie Underwood, are the biggest things to come out of American Idol, but, like, a lot of, like, Adam Lambert didn't win, and neither did Jordan Sparks.
No.
And neither did, who was that other girl who was pretty big? Oh, Catherine McPhee didn't win. Like, all these people.
Yeah.
I went on to have, like, really successful careers, and they, like, had.
It's true.
I mean, and they used the leverage from the show, obviously, but, like, they, the winning, like, the winners didn't do nearly as much as them.
It's true.
I was obsessed with Daughtry for a while.
Yeah, I mean, Daughtry's song was literally the song for American Idol for a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was funny. It all comes around. Yeah, no, I'm not going to lie. I think I was a big Jordan Sparks back in the day. She was
Really good.
She was really good. I, like, had the No Air, like, music video on my, like, iPod Nano, you know, where, like, the screen is about, like, 1 inch by 1 inch.
Uh-huh.
But I would, like, rewatch it over and over again.
Is that a cover or was that her original song?
I feel like it was an original. Let's see.
Honestly, who knows at this point?
Yeah, I'm so... Let's see. Oh, no.
She wrote it?
Yeah, like, she didn't write it, but she sang it originally.
First, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was such a good song.
It was a really good song. I loved that song.
Jordan Sparks killed it. I think Kelly Clarkson is great, of course. Mm-hmm. Carrie Underwood, great. So,
I just think, I mean, it shows you that, like, when, like, cause it's like once you get to the top 12 or whatever, it's just a popular vote.
Yeah.
No, I'm saying, like, cause it's like it's not always the best people who win, cause it's like America votes.
Totally. That makes sense.
Do you remember Sanjay? Do you remember that?
Sanjay, who got so far.
But everyone just kept voting on him because he, like, they thought he was really bad and they wanted to, like, ruin American Idol.
It's so mean.
How horrible was that?
It's so mean. I remember that. Yeah. What do you feel like? I feel like American Idol is very interesting because it's, like, legitimately somebody starts out as a normal person and becomes famous almost overnight.
Yeah, no, I mean, American Idol, I feel like, is the only other, like, the only reality show I can think of, like, reality competition show, where, like, the winner actually became, like, a household name.
Yeah. Like, the idea of, like, I don't know, if you go back and, like, watch Carrie Underwood's original audition tape, she goes in and she's this cute girl who, like, had never flown in a plane before.
I have chills.
Yeah, she lived in a town with, I think, like, one stoplight, you know, like, wow. It was really cute, and she was just talking about her life and, like, her idols and, like, who she, like, really admires, and goes in and kills her audition, and look at her now.
That's crazy. That's actually wild.
She's toured all over the world. That's insane. And her first plane flight was to her American Idol audition.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
That's wholesome.
It is really wholesome content.
Okay, Mimi, what are we ending the show with?
We're ending the show with what is apparently a very popular cover.
Mimi and I have a little bit of a disagreement about this.